I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Mental health and mental wellness continue to be vital concerns among Canadians during the COVID-19 pandemic, especially as Ontario gradually reopens and in-person activities resume this month. In the last 2 years, individuals have grown accustomed to limiting social interactions and transforming their homes into multi-purpose places. Ontario's reopening comes earlier than expected of what was originally planned by Ontario Premier Doug Ford. Today, Lisa Renee Hall discusses methods to cope with one's mental health as the pandemic continues, and what individuals can do once they must adjust to in-person activities once again. She's a mental health advocate and the founder of the Inner Field Trip community, a group dedicated to helping individuals explore their unconscious biases using guided prompts and reflected writing, according to its website.
My name is Lisa Renee Hall, and it's L-E-E-S-A, Renee, R-E-N-E-E, Hall, not Paul, Hall, H-A-L-L. And I'm a mental wellness advocate. I am founder of an online community called Inner Field Trip, and I'm a counseling psychology graduate student. So I'm studying to become a licensed therapist.
Hey. Can you just please tell me a bit about your work in mental wellness?
Yeah. Well, actually, my work is more around helping my coaching clients explore unconscious biases. So that's what we do in the Inner Field Trip community. I tend to attract people who identify as highly sensitive and highly perceptive and deep feeling, also neurodivergent. A lot of my work, however, tends to help people feel a lot better about themselves because I use tools such as expressive writing, which most people know as journaling. And I also use expressive arts as a way for us to explore that part of ourselves that contains our unconscious biases. And these are all evidence-based tools. And so as a result of the work I was doing with my coaching clients, I decided to pursue studies in therapy and psychology in order for me to now see clients and helping them with their mental wellness.
One of Lisa's well-known lessons in her videos during the pandemic is the changing of role, home, and form for individuals.
You know, going through the pandemic with all the constant change, that's something that as humans, we don't do well with. Change here and there is already tough for us to deal with, but then to have it happening every day, every hour, it can take its toll. And on top of that, not being able to freely move about because of restrictions that are put in place on our movements, it creates such angst and can show up in ways of irritation, frustration, anger. So I spoke to those three things that have changed during this time and gave some tips on what can be done so that you can manage your emotions better during this really tense and tough time. And so three things that are changing are the role. And so I'm sure many students and many who are just starting out in the workforce have found that instead of being just a student, now they've had to adjust their roles as they stay home and maybe have to care for a family member who has fallen sick. So now they've become a nurse, or they've had to tutor younger siblings who are also at home. So now they've become a teacher. And now, you know, no one's asked for these additional roles to be heaped upon them. And so that can take a toll on our mental wellness. Of course, our homes have changed. It's gone from being the place where, for some people, it's a refuge or a place to escape from the rigors of the world, to now doubling up, or not even doubling up, tripling up, quadrupling up as a gym, as an office, as a classroom, and that in itself can take its toll. I remember a year ago looking at my own office, and I was like, my home office, and I was like, my gosh, there's so much junk in here. It's so cluttered. And so even that clutter, it can take a toll on your mental wellness to see all that junk and mess around. So as our houses have had to, you know, have these multiple roles, that can definitely take its toll. And finally, our form. Here we are on Zoom. And for many of us, we've had to stare at our own images for close to 2 years. And I was reading that plastic surgeries have gone up and cosmetic surgeries have gone up because people are just staring at their images. And certainly if we're not feeling happy about our bodies, then that too can take a toll on our mental wellness as we stress and ruminate about, oh, my teeth are crooked. Oh, they're not white. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. But again, the way our mind works when we're under stress can take its toll.
In her work for their inner field trip, she uses prompts called active rest stops. 6 categories that may be helpful to individuals struggling with their mental wellness and are unable to speak to a qualified mental health worker like a therapist.
And so as, you know, one of the things that we do in my community in inner field trip is we take what I call active rest stops. And these are fun things that we can do in order to improve and protect our mental wellness. So there's 6 categories, and this is fun things that we can do to, the first thing before we get to the active rest stop, that's why I'm distracted, is I want to come back to what you said, is that if you're still a student, then I would recommend checking in with your resource center at your school, your career counseling center, to find out if they do have mental health support or counselors on staff. Some are underutilized, and then others, their mental health support services are overutilized, meaning that there's a waiting list. But that's one thing that can be done because there's no shame in asking for help. Another thing is if you're under a certain age, I think it's 26 or 25, you can check in with your parents. Sometimes their health plan can be extended to you and may include mental health support. Now, I know someone will say, but Lisa, I don't want my parents knowing that I want to go see a therapist. But you can just easily say to your parents, hey, you know, I know that your coverage can cover me. Do you have information about it that I can look at for dental or massage therapist? And if you go at that, at it that way, then you can check the details on the plan. And maybe if it's included in your parents' benefits package, then you can take advantage of that as well. Mm-hmm. Now let's move on to the active rest stop ideas. And these are ways in which to improve your mental wellness if you cannot afford a therapist right now, or if there's a long waiting list and you can't wait. And there's 6 categories. So I'll mention them quickly. There's build it, make it, illustrate it, reflect on it, move it, and compose it. And I'm glad you're recording this, Daniel. And really, it's the fun things that we can do to access our inner child and play again and move again and have fun again. Because when we can do that and fill our mind with things that are fun and humorous and playful, and disconnect from doom scrolling on our socials or listening to news of nothing but the double V's, virus and vaccines, they'll find that we can improve our mental wellness. So under the build it category, you can do things like playing with jigsaw puzzles or playing with Play-Doh, even on Minecraft. I've gotten into that. I don't want to admit it, but my niece, who's 8 years old, I've been playing Minecraft with her, and I love building different structures in Minecraft. So even that, I find it very therapeutic if I put it in peaceful mode. So those who understand Minecraft will understand what I mean. In the make it category, you can crochet, knit, sew. Those are some therapeutic ways in which to improve your mental wellness. Illustrate it, get your paints out, your markers out, your sketch pad, and just go at it, and don't even concentrate on perfection or technique. Just go right ahead and do that in an unstructured way. When we reflect on it, that's meditating, praying, napping. napping and breathing exercises to help you to really just ground yourself. In the move it category, it's walking, hiking, dancing, and skating, and so on. And then when it comes to composing it, you can compose music, you can compose plays, you can compose poetry, haikus. And all of these activities, again, are evidence-based. There's been many studies done that show that, again, when we can do some of these active rest stop ideas, that our mental health improves.
As Ontario fully opens this month, more in-person activities will increase. In addition to school and work, Lisa says individuals will need to reintegrate to social events, but can do so incrementally and have open communication with others on boundaries and comfort.
So a lot of my coaching clients are having that difficulty as well, that as things begin to open up again, there will be invitations for weddings and baby showers. And there's this nervousness, as you said, being in person. And especially since we've developed, you know, we've been told the message over and over, you know, stay away from people in order to stay safe. How do we integrate with others? And my recommendation would be first to, one of two things is, one is to go slow. You know, if you can only survive for 15 minutes, try that and then increase the time with each social event. Second thing is to communicate that, you know, this is something like, just be honest with people. Listen, COVID took a little number on me and my confidence being around people. And right now I would prefer not to attend in person. Hopefully your school will have accommodations. And of course, you can also seek some guidance from your career counseling centers and so on to see if accommodations can be made. Because I believe this will be an issue for us going forward. And we make accommodations for religion, we make accommodations for disabilities. We'll need to make accommodations for those who are still a little bit anxious about meeting in person with others. So if you can communicate and be honest about what you're still anxious about, and also ask for accommodations, it's my hope that these will be some of the things that you can do to advocate for yourself so that you can protect your mental wellness.
I guess, like, in your opinion, how can we kind of keep the conversation going on mental wellness and making sure that everybody's okay?
Yeah, that's a big one. One of the things that I've seen works really well is when people use art in order to express what's happening inside. And so I follow quite a number of accounts on Instagram where they use illustrations and art to communicate mental wellness issues. And so that's one way to continue the conversation. Is sometimes we don't need to use verbal sounds in order to continue the conversation about mental wellness. Sometimes we just need to use pictures and colors and art in order to do so. So we need to think of nonverbal ways to continue that conversation. It is tough for people to talk about their emotions depending on their culture and depending on, the culture that raised them, that even though you and I, Daniel, were both Canadians, that there's a culture that raised you and there's a culture that raised me within that Canadianness. And as a result, for some, it's very difficult to talk about their emotions. And it's very difficult to talk about mental wellness because it's seen as a form of weakness. But there are groups that you can form either online or within your peer group of people who are receptive to continuing the conversation about mental wellness. If that group doesn't exist, create it for yourself and gather together with others who are also wanting to continue the conversation. I do want to caution not to act like a therapist in these groupings. It can be tempting, but therapists are trained to understand how to deal with some of the issues that might pop up. So it can be a peer support group to continue the conversation again, But be sure to be clear with your peers that, hey, this is not therapy and it's not to substitute therapy. It's just a way that we can support each other in prioritizing our mental wellness.
Great. Are there any other final thoughts you would like to add?
Yeah. So I want to remind us all, you, me, and those who will be reading or listening to this, is that when it comes to mental wellness, a big part of that is self-care. And self-care isn't a reward for doing work. It is part of the work. And so ultimately, as you look at prioritizing and prioritizing your mental wellness and becoming fluent in when you are not mentally well, that part of this is to ensure that you are taking care of yourself and that you're well-versed in who you are so that you know when your mental wellness needs attention.
That was Lisa Renee Hall, mental health advocate and founder of the Inner Field Trip community. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.